Welcome to Here We Stand. I'm your regular host, Kevin Annett, Eagle Strong Voice. That's the Ballad of the Green Mountain Boys. And of course, going out to not only our friends and relatives there in New England and Vermont, the home of the first sovereign republic in America, but also to all of us these days that know that we must fight tyranny and genocide in our midst only through our sovereign self-governance. That's why our movement to build a Republic of Kanata, the common law republic that really spans the world, grew out of the campaign to expose genocide in Canada. Our site's murderbydecree.com flowed naturally into republicofkanata.ca. We can only put church and state on trial for these crimes against the innocent from a point of sovereign independence with our own common law courts. We see in practice how the courts, the police, the system is set up to protect the guilty and the perpetrators. We've seen that recently in this farce going on across Canada, where the perpetrators of the residential school mass murder are pretending to investigate themselves again, even though this pathetic attempt to turn back the clock and get people to forget about our own history and what's been accomplished, this attempt will fail. It's failing as we speak. And here's an example of how it's failing. Just yesterday, China, Russia, and various other nations announced they were starting their own investigation into genocide in Canada based on the opening of the various mass grave sites across Canada. The U.S. Senate yesterday announced they're starting a special investigation into the relationship between Canada and China. And Canada, of course, is pretending to investigate itself. Everyone's doing investigations. And of course, normally investigations by governments are simply a way to avoid a problem, to conceal it rather than to bring out anything that might indict them. And perfect example of that is the Canadian government allowed the Catholic, Anglican, and United Churches over many years to systematically destroy any documents that might incriminate them, including before their farcical Truth and Reconciliation Commission, in which the evidence was not even allowed to be talked about when children's deaths came up. Well, the same process is going on now. And the reason that it's safe for the perpetrators to start talking about mass graves is that most of them are gone. Systematically, as a matter of fact, from our research, it shows that since 1960, the government has had document destruction teams going around, wiping out any evidence of genocidal crimes in these schools. They've been systematically destroying the graves since 2008, when the so-called apology started, and after we had published evidence at 28 sites across the country of these mass graves of children, going back to as early as 1998, when we did our first tribunal. So don't listen to any of this corporate hype going on. At the same time, recognize that this has hit a spark all over the not only the provinces and the territories of Canada, but all over the world. And in that regard, I want to share with you something that came out this last week. It's starting on July 1st. It's really a call to action. And it's actually the result of a coalition now of Indigenous elders from nine different nations across Canada. This is a statement that came out. You can see it if you go to murderbydecree.com under ITCCS updates or republicofkanata.ca under breaking news. This is entitled From Kamloops to Rome, Stop the Child Killers. A month of mourning and direct action begins this Thursday, July 1st. It's put out by the Canadian Genocide Tribunal, this independent movement to put Canada on, not only put them on trial, since they've already been put on trial and found guilty, but actually enforce that order and disestablish these criminal bodies. It came out from the Squamish, the Gitxsan, the Nuchelnuth, the Shuswap, the Chilcotin, Cree, Anishinaabeg, Mohawk, and Mi'kmaq Indigenous nations. That spans the whole continent. And it says basically these things. First of all, that those people presently digging up these grave sites are to cease and desist because they're agents of the Crown and all they're doing is destroying evidence from their own crime scene. And if they don't cease and desist, they'll face immediate and permanent banishing from the territories. This applies to the Band Council agents, the RCMP officers, Crown coroners and others in there going into these sites and not even letting the public or the press in to see them, what they're doing. Secondly, to separate ourselves from the crimes and culture of our domestic genocide, we hereby declare a week of mourning, fasting, and prayer across Kanata beginning this Thursday, July 1st at sunrise. We ask all people to withdraw their labor, their payments and thoughts and energy from society and stand separate within the heart of creation. asking the Great Spirit for guidance and strength to do what is right and just. That's to prepare us for the next stage, which is to actually save our children and recover what has been stolen from all our nations, and in accordance with international law, we call upon all people to join with us in direct public actions throughout the month of July and beyond to occupy and reclaim the properties, lands, and wealth of the criminal churches that killed over 60,000 of our children, namely the Catholic, Anglican, and United Church of Canada. We hereby declare these churches permanently banished from our territories. That means, folks, no money to them, don't attend them, don't use their facilities. They're going to be seized and occupied by the Native nations themselves and our allies in order to take back what has been taken from us and stop these criminals in their tracks. And finally, to reclaim the clan called Canada. This is the fourth call. To reclaim Canada from the Crown of England and its Vatican sponsors. As the sovereign title holders of the land of Canada, we order the Governor General, Prime Minister Trudeau, members of the Privy Council and Parliament to immediately comply with international law by nullifying the tax exemptions, privileges, and legal status of these genocidal churches, and by surrendering themselves and the officers of these churches to stand before us and our tribunal for trial, judgment, and sentencing as culpable parties to crimes against humanity. Let all people separate from this evil and stand with us as free and sovereign nations. And personally, I'm also making that declaration, not only on behalf of the Canadian Genocide Tribunal, but as the accredited fiduciary agent of Chief Chiapalano on the Squamish Nation, who in March 2008 appointed me with powers to expel these churches from his territories in what is now all of Vancouver. Now, in that regard today, in other words, we're going to be talking about not about the obvious stuff that's in the corporate press, but what we do now to reclaim our nations from this genocidal regime called Canada. Now, today, on that topic, I have with me a very special guest. Her name is Suzanne Holland. She's from the Chilcotin Nation in what is falsely called British Columbia. She's an ambassador from that nation, and we're going to be talking today about her and her nation's attempt to establish that sovereignty in their own courts and how it relates to this whole struggle to stop the genocide, give our children a proper burial, and reclaim the nations for all of us. Suzanne, are you with us?
I am, Kevin. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's really good to have you with us on the show. I wonder if you could give the folks a little bit of a background as to who you are and the things that are touching you these days about this whole campaign.
Yes, I'd be very happy to do so. I've been working for the Chilcotin National Congress, the true hereditary government of the Chilcotin Nation and the territory of the Chilcotin State. I've been working for them since 2014, 2015. When I first discovered a Native child in my daycare, a 12-year-old, who was being abused by her foster home, and then in turn after that by the social worker who was illegally drugging and caging her against her will. And so that's how I started out awakening to the fact that there's a problem. There's a huge problem going on today in Canada. And with respect to my advocating for her and my business manager advocating for her, we try to reach out to every level of government out there in British Columbia and in Canada. And there was absolute silence. They just ignored all of our communications and correspondence. And this child was for years thereafter being abused. I was ordered to stop helping her and to stop advocating for her, which is totally against their law. But nevertheless, that's what happened. And to make a long story short, I happened to meet the Chilcotin National Congress members and the head of the nation, Grand Chief Stanley Stump Sr., his wife, Chilcotin Minister of Justice Fanny Stump, and her sister, Queen Clan Mother Dorothy Boyd. So I was privileged to meet them, and I discovered that this is not an isolated problem at all. And what I discovered was that British Columbia and Canada had been apprehending illegally without contract, without agreement, without any form of de jure authority whatsoever. They were apprehending children on an ongoing basis from the Chilcotin people. And for as an early childhood educator, I know what abuse, what parental abuse is against a child. And so I've been trained in that. And so I took it upon myself during that time that I started working for them to interview about 100 different families. And so absolutely there was not one out of the 100 where I, as an early childhood educator, could say, okay, this capture of these children was justified. There's just absolutely ridiculous things that they concocted. Everything from the children were playing in the backyard, and the mother was in the house for a moment, and that constituted taking their children away for years, and just ridiculous, horrific things like that, which they purported to be a legitimate reason for taking children away from their families for years. And right. Also with respect to one family in particular, this mother had a disabled baby. She was looking after that child just wonderfully. For nobody knows what reason, the ministry decided to take the child away from the mother. 2 weeks later, the child was dead in a foster home. So this is absolutely an outrage what Canada is doing today to the children. Yes, it's an outrage what has happened. With respect to the residential schools, absolutely an outrage. But this has not stopped, and that is a huge problem. And Canada and the Catholic Church will not back off. When I started working for the Chilcotin people, the first job assignment I had in my capacity for working for the Chilcotin National Congress was to order Canada off of the territory, was to order the government of British Columbia and Canada off of their territory, and to order the RCMP off the territory. So this has already been done by the Chilcotin people since back in 2015 when their constitution of the Chilcotin Nation was ratified on March 15th. And so ever since then, I was working in my capacity at the time to bring the 300 stolen children home. And that was ordered that they be sent home. We had developed our own, or the Chilcotin Nation had developed their own child protective organization with respect to under statute law. And we were ready. We had every reason to be able to have those children back. That went ignored by Canada, by Prime Minister Trudeau, by the Premier at the time, and it is still being ignored. These people are criminals. They're terrorist organizations. These people are absolutely committing the most inhumane, unspeakable things to these families. I've seen it with my own eyes, where the children were not allowed to see the parent only for a certain portion of the week, and the foster parents would come, and these children were crying, just absolutely heartbreakingly crying for their parents. This kind of atrocity is going on today, and right. The Grand Chief, our Grand Chief, Stanley Stump Sr., said that Victoria, the British Columbia government in Victoria, receives $250,000 per child they apprehend per year that they keep these children from Ottawa. So Ottawa siphons $250,000 into the hands of the provincial governments per child per year. That's a lot of money, and that is called child trafficking. At every level. And I'm so sorry.
Let me just jump in for a minute, because it's amazing, the stuff you're sharing. It confirms so much of what we've heard from other territories. And I wanted to, you've touched on some really important things. I wondered if we could just kind of elaborate a little bit on some of these. You know, you're describing how the genocide is continuing, the child trafficking industry, which involves church and state and big money. Tell me now, and you're also talking about how your nation have asserted their sovereignty and tried to create their own alternatives and how they're being attacked. Give a little bit of background first. What is the Chilcotin territory? Who are they? What's been their history? A little bit for listeners who don't know.
Yes, thank you for asking. That is a very good question. The Chilcotin Nation is headed by the Chilcotin National Government, which is the true hereditary government. The other organizations that you will hear online purporting to be the hereditary government are not. So they are bribed by Canada, and they are they have received funds from Canada, and of course, none of that money goes to the people. It just goes into their own pockets. So that is a huge problem for us, as well as I think other nations. But nevertheless, the Chilcotin National Congress is the true hereditary government. Their right to their title of their land has been recognized by the Supreme Court of Canada in 2014 with respect to their alloidal title. And everybody says, well, it's just a narrow strip of land. Well, of course, that was all that was before the court. And the court even made sure that that was written in their judgment, that no other part of the title lands had been before the Supreme Court of Canada in 2014. So they didn't make a decision on it, but they did leave room for, and they said, this situation is going to be evolving. And the Supreme Court of Canada gave leave to, or at least acknowledge the right of the Chilcotin people to abrogate provincial law and replace it with Chilcotin law. And so very few people understand that from that title decision, but it is true that the Chilcotin National Congress then, after the 2014 decision came out, attempted to go forward with their constitution. And so they created a statutory court called the Universal Supreme Court of the Chilcotin, and so this court has been declared under the Montevideo Convention on the Rights and Duties of State as to the jurisdiction of the court, and the jurisdiction of the court goes as far as wherever Aboriginal people dwell. So that's you know, not just our territory, but it's anywhere where people want to turn to an alternative court, an alternative international court that bases their judgments on, truth and justice and freedom, and you know, it pains my heart to say upon God's word, because there's so much fake Christianity out there, and again, you know, We turn to what's happened in the residential schools, where these people are not Christians. I mean, people who do those kind of things are not reading the same book I'm reading. So people understand the discrepancy there, that the Catholic Church.
That's true. We often get that. Like, you know, I remember when Native God once told me, well, these nuns and priests can't believe in their own teachings, because if they believed in hell, don't they think they'd go to hell for killing a child? I mean, so I think really licking through these illusions is part of the whole thing of recovering our sovereignty and creating something different, you know.
Exactly. And when people think about it, you know, I mean, the Catholic Church had been doing this in Europe to the martyrs for centuries during the medieval days and years. So, before the Catholic Church followed, the Christians fleeing persecution in Europe to, Turtle Island, North America, before they did that, I mean, they were being killed by the millions in Europe. And so now... Right. The persecution of the native people started when, of course, the Catholic Church followed us here. And so
before we lose that thought, let me just jump in there, because Obviously, this is just a continuation, like you said, of what went on in Europe. It's like a religious inquisition. And under Catholic law, still to this day, if you're not a Catholic, you don't have a soul and your life can be forfeited. The Pope has life and death power over everyone on the planet, according to their own teachings. So, you know, in this kind of criminal syndicate that thinks it's God and can kill anybody, what is your, like, from your point of view of how do we fight this beast on the ground? What's been your experience of, you know, what happens when we do that?
Well, I will turn to scripture, Matthew 10, verse 26. Fear them not, therefore, for there's nothing covered that shall not be revealed and hid that shall not be known. I think it's a war of information at this point. We need to expose the evils that this church and state had done. These are terrorist organizations. The Canadian government is a terrorist organization as far as I'm concerned. All my dealings with the Canadian government has shown that they have all the earmarks of a terrorist organization. They uphold the crimes of this so-called church. They're not a church. They're a criminal syndicate. And so, you know, the genocide that has been done, they need to be held accountable for. Justice has to have its day. These people have to be brought to justice. There is no other way to do it. And by the way, I just wanted to let you know, Kevin, and let everybody else listening know that the Universal Supreme Court of the Tsleil-Waututh and the Tsleil-Waututh National Congress absolutely, unequivocally upholds the International Tribunal of Crimes and of Church and State and the Genocidal Tribunal. Wholeheartedly, I think this is absolutely wonderful. What has been done and what has been happening with these tribunals. We are 100% behind what you guys are doing, and we want to be part of that because there's just no way that these genocides can be allowed to be covered up. Like you said, I mean, for the church and the RCMP to get in there now, what a huge conflict of interest. That is just absolutely bizarre and absurd for them to even contemplate such a thing. I mean, they need to have all their documents seized immediately to prevent suppression of evidence and spoliation where they destroy the evidence. I applaud the efforts of your tribunal absolutely wholeheartedly.
That's great, Suzanne, and welcome. How do you go about, have you had experience in your nation of setting up courts of, you know, serving summonses on people on your territory who are doing crimes against your children? Do you talk a little bit about, you know, your experience of that?
Well, we did order all of the 300 stolen children back. Unfortunately, we have had absolutely no response by Canada. They just ignored it. And even though they say one thing out of one side of their mouths that, oh, yes, we're going to look into this, and that's all that they do. And so there has to be a call to action like you're doing, such as not been done before. People have to act now and not just wait on these terrorist regimes to act. I mean, it's like, you know, going to the devil for mercy. It's not going to happen.
Right. Now, have you had help from traditional people in other nations, Indigenous nations?
Well, I think we have been Canada has been attacking our authority since the get-go. And, you know, I can speak to that personally. But at the same time, people in other nations are just starting to discover what we are doing and what we've been trying to do. Right. So it really, we just need to get the information out there to all the nations, to, you know, all those people who are non-native as well, because any attack on humanity is an attack on all of us. Right. And this is not a race, racial issue. This is an attack on humanity. And I hope people understand that. If they don't stand up for stand up against crimes, you know, they're going to be the next victim. So
we need to stand together. What you're saying, Suzanne, is so important because we found, like, for example, in Kamloops, at the Kamloops Band Council, the only reason that story came out is because an insider in the band council spilled it to the media, and because the police and the band council were about to destroy all those bones, like they always do on all the residential school grave sites. So it shows you the importance. There's people in the system who want to do the right thing, but it's like, you know, on a reservation, the chief and council are absolute dictators. You know, they traffic children and drugs, they kill people. I mean, it's that banana republic right in Canada. And it's hard when you're talking to people, how do you fight that when you feel isolated in that community, right?
Exactly. And I've seen that over and over again in every community I've been to and talking to various nations out there. Common people are absolutely behind what we're doing, and then Canada threatens them either to, withholding funds or with respect to an attack on their families. So they are threatened, they are bribed, and people don't know where to turn to because they do feel isolated. They do feel like, okay, where do we go from here? But thank the Lord that people like you, people like your tribunals, you're spearheading the rights of everybody, and I just am so thankful for you guys. And we definitely are wanting to see the same kind of justice materializing that you guys are spearheading. So we are totally, absolutely behind you guys.
Well, you know, and let's talk about that too, because I know that, as our tribunal goes around the nations and meets with people, let's say we could come to Chilcotin territory tomorrow. What are the kinds of issues you'd like brought before such a tribunal, the things that need action right now?
Absolutely. What I was mandated to do the first minute that I started working for the Chilcotin National Congress, and that is to bring the children home. They have stolen 300 of our children. They most of them still need to come home. Also, with respect to our young people, they will, charge and prosecute our young people on trumped-up charges. We want them to come home. We have leadership who are being attacked and who are being falsely charged, who have been slandered in the media. We want them to come home. We need all of our people to come home because it's people that matter the most. And then, of course, we need Canada to leave. We can do better than Canada can. We don't need Canada interfering and stealing, our national revenue. We don't need Canada to come in and illegally occupy our territory. We just want Canada to go.
Right. Now, the thing that led out of our whole campaign over 20 years, of course, was the movement among non-Indigenous Canadians to set up a republic that is outside Crown jurisdiction. And the Republic of Canada, it's really interesting because it really took off this last year with the whole COVID thing. And we issued laws within our own assembly saying these COVID regulations are nullified, Crown authority is nullified, these churches are ordered to close down and to turn over their properties to the Native people they harmed. And it really caught on in more of the mainstream, like something like close to 60% now Canadians want end of ties with this criminal thing called the Crown. So there's all this tremendous potential for these alliances. And I think that's something we want to work on, not just the tribunal, but creating new nations and how they function together, right?
Absolutely. And I'm hearing that more and more, Kevin. Where I am, there's a whole movement of non-Native people who are behind the Native people and their perspective on doing a way better job than these criminals can do. And so, we I know of a lot of non-Native people who are wanting just that, and they are looking to the Native people to lead the way.
Well, and sometimes, too, it's like we don't even know our own history, you know. And, you know, my own family, like in Winnipeg, when they came seven generations ago from Scotland, they intermarried with the Cree and the Ojibwe. I've got Métis relatives, but I didn't know about them until I started doing this work because nobody wanted to talk about them on the white side of my family, right? And I think many Canadian families, especially in the West, have that. We're closer to this genocide than we realize, you know?
Exactly, yes. And, you know, it's been 150 years that Canada has been lying to the world, saying that they own the Chilcotin territory, when, in fact, when you look at the history books, it'll show that before British Columbia could be part of Confederation, they had to acknowledge the sovereignty of the Chilcotin territory. So the Chilcotin territory was never ceded to Canada. It's technically never been part of Canada.
Right.
And our borders, have been there and acknowledged by Governor Seymour in the 1800s. So, you know, we have all this documentation before there ever was such a thing as British Columbia or Canada. The Chilcotin people were here, and of course all the other nations were here too. And their rights, either by trickery or deception, have been taken from them. And it's now time for, I believe, Native people to say, no, we're not going to put up with these criminals perpetrating all these crimes committing all this fraud. And so, and of course, just doing horrific things of genocidal acts the world just cannot ignore. It just cannot ignore anymore. It has to be dealt with.
Well, I know you're an ambassador from the nation. I wanted to talk about, what your role is in that, because Russia, for example, for a number of years has said that they recognize indigenous sovereignty in North America. And they mentioned the Lakota. But, the point is, if we appeal to other nations, then we can do an end run, kind of outflank Canada on this issue, because their reputation now is shot thanks to our work. I mean, everyone in the world is talking about genocide in Canada. It's an amazing opening now for us to establish diplomatic ties with other nations.
Exactly. And that is what is going on. Other nations are reaching out to other nations, and alliances are being formed as we speak. That is super. With respect to Russia, I know that Russia, I think back in the 80s, had invited our Grand Chief Stanley Stump Sr. to a seat at the United Nations General Assembly back then. And so I do applaud Russia for their acknowledging the rights of the Native people. And so, a lot of other nations do need to step up to the plate out there and acknowledge, the wrongs that Canada has done. There are nations who I have talked to as an ambassador. I've talked to various various embassies out there, and they, the first reaction is, oh, we are allies of Canada, and we don't care about you. But that needs to change. I'm glad that Russia is showing a good example, and hopefully the United Nations will do their job and back the Native people in their rights to their own land, their own. Will recognize their own abilities to deal with these crimes their own way. And so I hope the United Nations backs up international law that way.
Well, they have to. Under the UN Convention on Genocide that Canada signed and ratified, any nation that commits genocide or admits to it, like Trudeau did 2 years ago publicly, has to be prosecuted and punished. And not just by other nations, but by their own citizens. Canadians have to stop paying taxes. They've got to stop acknowledging the laws of a genocidal regime like Canada. That's why we need the Republic as an alternative for people, or your nation as a, you know, your own sovereignty, right?
Exactly. And those people who are paying taxes to a terrorist organization are aiding and abetting a terrorist organization. So that is what, you know, people need to understand, that if you just look the other way and continue on with the status quo and don't deal with the crime, you're aiding and abetting and possibly obstructing justice. So, you know.
Right. And this is one idea we had. It was a popular item when we hold our Republic assemblies. And by the way, I hope eventually we can do that together. We can have these parallel movements, your assemblies and ours working together. But one of the items in that assembly was, okay, we're going to withhold our federal taxes since most of that money goes to paying off debts to foreign banks anyway. Let's keep the tax money in the community. Keep it here so we can use it to fund our own people. That kind of thing, right?
Exactly. And I just had an article go out just a little while ago, just outlining all the wonderful things that the Chilcot National Congress wanted to do for their citizens, quote, members in their territory. And that means, you know, cutting, you know, the taxes in half immediately for across the board for everybody, you know, making sure that everybody had, you know, free medical, dental, post and early education free. I mean, just all kinds of stuff that that the Chilcot National Congress wanted to do to upgrade or increase the standard of living for everybody on the territory. And, you know, Canada came in and started slandering the Chilcot National Congress. Right. It just... these people need to stop doing these crimes and just let others, leave others alone. You know, stop trafficking our children, stop torturing our children and stop murdering them, and stop bowing to a church who has been doing nothing but committing murder for centuries and millennia.
That's right. And let's not forget the Anglicans and United Church. They're partner co-conspirators in the crime. And and so, you know, the exciting thing about the times we live in is that people are realizing that we can take this action ourselves. And there's two things, of course, that threaten these criminals, and that's their money, threats to their money and their public image. And the good news, of course, today was that the U.S. Senate is actually now debating. They're doing this. The U.S. Senate is investigating the ties between Canada and China. And you know, so as the major trading partner, America has a lot of influence, and, you know, on what Canada does. So there's all these Achilles heels now that Canada's walking around on, and we can aim at those. And, you know, that's part of the whole strategy, you know.
Yes, I agree.
So we got about 10 minutes left. And in that time, is there anything we haven't mentioned that you want to talk about in terms of the work you're doing now, the issues that you think are really important, and maybe how it relates to the campaign I mentioned earlier, that, you know, during July, we want people to fast, to mourn this genocide, and then take direct action to reclaim these church properties and order them off your land?
Yes, I think that's a wonderful place to start, is how you're going about it with the fasting, with gathering the nations together in solidarity, with the fasting and mourning and praying, and just making sure that these grave sites are not tampered with. They belong to the Native people, and they need to deal with this atrocity in their own way, according to their own choosing. At this point, there's been enough attack on those people. We need to support them. We need to love them at this time in a very big way. The residential school atrocities in Saskatchewan too, and all across the land, they need to be supported, and they need to, people need to write to these these places and let them know that they're not alone. Let them know that they're supported, they're loved, they're cared for, and you know, their human rights are going to be upheld. The justice will have to be served, and it just gives everybody a chance to reflect on what our next steps are with respect to dealing with this crime syndicate, and that includes, you know, getting the information out, because information is power. And as you have been doing over the years, I was so happy to see that and hear that all the hard work that you've been doing, Kevin, over the years is now coming to fruition. We're seeing some really positive results with respect to people getting to know the truth out there. They're getting behind the movement that says, no, these crimes have to stop. They're not going to be covered up. They're not going to be suppressed. We're not going to just walk away and ignore this. We will have to deal with it. It's going to be very hard. It's going to be very painful with respect to all the mourning that has to happen for these beloved children whose lives had been snuffed out by monsters. And so that's going to be very hard, but we need to love and support those who are going through these horrific situations, and we cannot ignore them. They are our brothers and sisters. They have been inhumanely treated, and we're not going to forget. We're not going to forget what has happened here, and we just need to let everybody have a chance to get to know the truth, and to get to know, you know, that if this isn't stopped, all you're doing is aiding and abetting monsters to continue doing their monstrous activities. And
well, it'll strike back on all of us. I mean, you know, mandatory vaccinations have been the law on Indian reservations for over 100 years. And now it's being played out on all of us. It's like we're all under the Indian Act now. They're trying to impose that. But it's interesting. I wanted to mention this. I can't resist mentioning this. Like right now on the West Coast, there is what's called a heat cone. And it's tremendously hot weather. The first time in history it's gotten this hot. Tomorrow, Seattle is going to have a temperature of 113 degrees Fahrenheit. That's like 45 centigrade. And it suddenly emerged right over central BC, where that first mass grave was exposed. I remember back in 2009 when I did that exorcism outside the Vatican, a tornado hit the city the next morning. And then when Ratzinger resigned, a lightning bolt hits the dome of the Vatican. These were all photographed happening. And I'm thinking, you know, the Great Spirit and Mother Nature is making her own statement about these crimes. And it's not unrelated. These things are not coincidental.
I totally agree, because as a Christian, I believe that God sees what's really going on with these purported Christians. They're not really, but, you know, they claim to be. They cover up their crimes under the cloak of Christianity. And so, you know, God is going to hold these people accountable eventually on the judgment day, I believe. But at the same time, God absolutely expects us to do our part. For example, in Revelation 18, verse 6 is judicial language. It says here in Revelation, reward her as she rewarded you, and double unto her double, and the cup which she has filled, fill to her double. So these people have to be brought to justice now, as well as them. And so that's our duty. I want to let people know, speaking about this pandemic situation, that the Universal Supreme Court has issued orders that nobody has can be forced to be vaccinated. People need to know that. The Native people need to know that these vaccines are extremely, extremely dangerous, and they have the right to say no. And so under the Universal Supreme Court, which is the first international Aboriginal court, other than your tribunal, of course, you know, we have taken it upon ourselves to make sure that everybody's protected, not just the Native people, but everybody has the right to say no. And so this prohibition has gone out on December 15th, 2020, that nobody can be allowed to be, nobody can be forced to be vaccinated against their will. And these atrocities need to stop with respect to these very, very harmful and dangerous lethal injections, because, you know, this is just a continuation of the crimes of church and state, and that is easily provable. It's well documented, and so people have the right to say no.
One of the places, of course, that went on is the Indian hospitals that Novartis and Pfizer and all these companies now pushing the drugs, the vaccines on people. They first experimentally tried out a lot of drugs on children, and they died en masse. They have the blood of children on their hands, and yet people are going to trust them to shove a needle into your kid's arm. I mean, it's insane. So it's like at the Nuremberg trials, there has to be a whole investigation done on the drug companies and Big Pharma's role in this medical genocide. And that's probably one of the reasons we're getting so much flack, but it's a sign we're on the right road. Suzanne, in the last few minutes, do you have any websites or contact information? You and I will be speaking offline about working together, but share anything else you need to with people.
Yes, our documents, a few of them are on our website called Chilcotin National. The letter C is in charlie.wixsite.com/CNC and then the number one or the digit one. So it's Chilcotin, Chilcotin National, C as in letter C, dot Wixsite, Wixsite.com/CNC Charlie, Nancy Charlie, and the number or digit one. So people can go ahead and look at that. Our Constitution is there for anybody and everybody to take advantage of. And I know the Kamloops Nation has excerpted some of our language from our Constitution and applied it to their Constitution. So we were very happy about that with respect to the host nation, guest nation concept. So we're glad about that. I have personally attended, just to let everybody know, the Kamloops Residential School building and the band school, or sorry, the band office there. And so it is, when I was there years ago, the blood of those children are still crying out today, and I didn't even know anybody was buried there. So just to let people know that, you know, this now has to stop.
Suzanne, thank you so much, sister, for being on the show with us today. We're going to talk to you again later, and we'll continue to have you and other witnesses and the elders on. This is your platform as well, so thank you.
God bless you.
And you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Suzanne. That was Suzanne Holland, ambassador from the Chilcotin Nation in central what's called British Columbia. Of course, we're renaming that. But the Republic of Kanata and the work to unite all of this effort to oppose genocide by creating a new future for all of us. Republic of Kanata, K-A-N-A-T-A. That means where the people sit as one around the council fire. That's a Huron word, from which the word Canada comes. Well, we're recovering the original meaning of it. republicofkanata.ca, murderbydecree.com. And a final reminder, folks, what you hear today is not for your passive edification. It's for action. It's for you to put it into action in your community. So to be involved in our campaign, write to me personally, angelfire101 at protonmail.com. That's angelfire101 at protonmail.com. And you'll be hearing a lot more in the coming weeks of the things we're going to be doing that are very exciting and which need your involvement. Now, we're going to end with a special song. It's called Bella Ciao. It was one of the songs of the Italian resistance movement against fascism. And I love the words. It really describes what we need to be doing. Not only get off our knees, but get off our asses, get out there and take action. We're the only ones who are going to make it possible. So I thank you, folks. Go over again the information in memory of these children that you find at murderbydecree.com. We will not let their memory be destroyed. We will not let this beast win. We all must be united against it. This is Kevin Annett, Eagle Strong Voice. Stay strong, stay clear.